Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl Hundabot. Good morning, 7:05 on March the 16th, and I hope you're getting ready for St. Paddy's Day tomorrow. You know, a lot of times you like to practice a little bit before St. Paddy Day starts. Hey, our phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and if you go on your computers to KCNR 1460.com. We're streaming live, and you can listen to us, but you can also join the 300, the KCNR chat pack, which grows all the time. And you can discuss over your coffee or your tea or your V8 juice or whatever you have in that morning, that little medicinal pop to get you going, the events of the day. Hey, I'm joined today by Bad Bob.
And good morning, sir.
How are you today, Bad Bob?
Doing well, enjoying the ride in the dark, and looking forward to when it's once again in the light.
Okay.
And noticing that the studio is a little less light today.
The studio is a little less light today. That's right, because Linda is on assignment this morning, and she'll be back. Well, you know what? I think she may be on assignment for a couple of days. We'll have to check that out, because tomorrow Trish Clark will be our guest host.
Yes.
Coming in, the well-known and the beloved county supervisor out there, and who is now retired from that, but is still active in politics and still has opinions. We're going to have her on tomorrow. But today, Linda's on assignment. Now, let's start off with the weather here today, Bob.
Well, it looks like it's going to be off and on, precipitation rest of the day. Possibly some thunder showers after 11 a.m. Southwest winds right now, 90% chance precipitation. That'll ease off tonight, then rain likely again tomorrow. Currently downtown, 50 degrees. Weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
That's right, Anselmo Vineyards is having a great new artist up there this weekend. You need to call. They always have great food up there. They always have great service, and it's another music weekend. So give them a call and make your reservations, because they always fill up. Hey, today on March 16th in 1926. Okay, Bob, you need to guess this. It's a baby. Joseph Levitch was born and would someday wear the crown of King of Crazy. Who is this?
1926, born name Levitch.
Levitch.
I'm going to feel foolish when I hear it, because it's rattling around in the back of the brain. Hit me.
Okay, let me put it this way. You've seen him on the TV every year at one time. At one time, you assume he comes on TV.
Jerry Lewis.
There you go. Jerry Lewis was born to this day in 1926. The King of Crazy, he was the goofy partner of Dean Martin. And now he does the Muscular Dystrophy Association, and he calls them Jerry's Kids, and he's raised hundreds of millions of dollars. Also, today in 1850, the novel The Scarlet Letter by Nathaniel Hawthorne was published for the first time. Now, that's where people had to put the big letter A on their chest if they were caught in an adulterous situation. Well, I'm glad we don't have to do that these days. It would be such a run on letters. And Peter Paul and Mary in 1963 released the single Puff the Magic Dragon. Okay, that's what happened in the past. Now, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to start our trip around the world. Our guest today, Gary Cadd, is going to be talking about the city council. He's our city council representative for our station here. We can talk about what happened. But also, Sheriff Tom Basinko will be on today. We need to talk about what's going on with crime, what's going on with the Sheriff's Department, what we should be looking for, what he has to share with us. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 7:13 in the morning on March the 16th. It's rainy today. It's going to be rainy later in the day, and it may even be thundershowers tonight. Right now the temperature is 50 degrees. I think, what's the high going to be today, Bob?
Looking for a high right around 57 today, so not a lot of temperature variation.
Okay, let's start in Japan. Let's start working our way across the world here. Japan, those nuclear reactors, the workers were forced out of that nuclear energy plant that had the earthquake damage, the most damage, because of radiation escaping. They're saying, though, that the level of radiation escaping is still well below what it can do to harm people. However, the workers were forced out. Now they've gone back in there. They have asked for help. The Japanese have asked for help from the U.S. military to come in there and help with these reactors and help start, you know, cooling them down. The military has lots of experts that have worked in a lot of nuclear reactors, and both in the military and also in damage control. So I can understand that. As we move over to the Middle East, it doesn't look like the rebel forces in Libya are going to obtain what they want, and that's Gaddafi to be kicked out, to take over. Right now, it looks like the Gaddafi forces have continued to kick the rebels out of these towns. And the no-fly zone, which people have talked about, is looking like that's faltering too. Even though France says Europeans are backing it and all this. I've written a blog that will be hitting the record searchlight today about the no-fly zone and why I think that's just a horrible idea for us to get involved with the no-fly zone at this point in our military strength and our economic strength. To get involved with this is not a good idea, my friends, a no-fly zone. To get involved in another fracas in the Middle East. And then you go into Bahrain. Saudi Arabia sent 2,000 troops to Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates sent 500 policemen to help quash the protests that are going there. So, and this was after the Secretary of Defense, Gates, met with the leaders there in the Middle East to urge opening of dialogue, to talk about helping these people. Let's talk to them. So much for democracy in the Middle East, unless they take it like in Egypt when you roll back on it. And so how's that working for you right now with all the plans we had, Secretary of Defense over there, Clinton over there, and the only thing you're getting is we want the status quo. We want the status quo. We want our sheikhs to stay in power. We want the House of Saud to stay in power. We want the sheikhs in Bahrain to stay in power. I mean, that's what they want. Gaddafi's fighting to maintain his power, and it looks like he's going to, because nobody else stepped in there. And it's something we need to keep our hands off of. Okay, let's start going into the United States. The House of Representatives passed a stopgap measure to keep the government going, and they actually cut a bill. They had a bill that cut out $6 billion in cuts. It made $6 billion in cuts, but that is so much less than we need, but at least they passed something to keep it going. Now, angry voters in Miami, the mayor in Miami-Dade, it's one of the largest populated counties in the United States, removed Mayor Carlos Alvarez from office in a recall election because he hiked the property taxes by 14%, and it was not even a close vote. With all precincts reporting, 88% of the voters backed the effort to oust this once very popular mayor, who was in his second four-year term. He said, "We don't have the money coming in. We're having problems with schools. We're having problems with police and fire. We need to get this money. I want to raise the property taxes." He did 14%. They recalled him and ousted him. I think what they're trying to tell you is that this 14% tax hike was probably not a great idea during the double-digit declines in real estate values, as South Florida was hammered by U.S. housing and mortgage foreclosure crisis. I just might want to remind people about that as they go along. Get this one. Okay, here's one of my favorites. The U.S. agent seized Georgia execution drug supply. They've seized the supply of drug used in execution on Tuesday because of concerns of how it was imported. Okay, I heard this. When I heard this one, I said, you know, they're buying this stuff out of the back door of a car at a rugby game in England. Okay, I don't know if that's true or not, But here's the thing. It's a sodium thiopental. It's in short supply nationally. They ordered the drug from a pharmaceutical distributor in London, and they got 50 vials of this. But they said the state was not registered to import the controlled substance and failed to notify DEA about the shipment. Okay.
You can't make this stuff.
Tell me, you know what? This is just, I mean, this is just ridiculous. This is where your taxpayer money is going for. They can't get it here in the United States. They're wanting to, and this types of execution, these are the drugs that just knock them out. You know, but they're saying that this is cruel and unusual. This is unjust to those prisoners to bring in drugs illegally, quote, illegally. Here's a state, one of the states importing these drugs, and the U.S. government stops them. This sounds familiar? How about along the border when Arizona passes its laws to protect itself and our government steps in to stop what they're doing because the U.S. government doesn't have the wherewithal to protect our citizens along the border? You know, Obama, do you actually have an idea what's going on? President Obama, do you actually have an idea what's going on in this? Okay, how about this? Utah governor signs immigration law like Arizona. Heard anything about that? The governor there signed a package of immigration laws, including one that would allow a police crackdown on illegal immigrants, similar to Arizona's attempt last year. Would also attempt to create a guest worker program. Utah did the right thing. We did the hard thing, the governor said, in signing the laws. And the United States is struggling with 12 million illegals, many from Latin America, and growing anger about voters about the jobs they take. Oh, you can say, oh, no, they don't take jobs. Oh, they take those jobs we don't want. Talk to any construction guy around here. I mean, really talk to them. Have them just tell you, what are the jobs that they take? Roofers. They take roofers, they tile, they do the interior work.
Yeah, drywall.
Drywall. Tell me that they don't take jobs Americans would have. And if you do, then you're so naive that I feel sorry for you. Got to take a break. Carlin with the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. This is Carl and Linda Bott. 7:24 in the morning, March 16th. Phone lines here at 530-605-4567. And you can go to streaming at KCNR1460.com, which while a bunch of our chat room here, so let me jump in and look at Angel and Indie Guy and Coach Bob and JDR and Sun Gold and many others. Kelly, somebody you asked about the, and I haven't got it captured right here. Bob, you're going to have to go back and scroll back up in the chat room and talk about the Veterans Art Project there for the County Service Veterans Office. Yes, that's true. They've gotten, what they've done is they've gone out and solicited art for art projects for the County Veterans Service Office. None of this will be paid for, of course, by city funds or government funds. No, this will all be money raised to pay for this, and it's going to be something. It can be almost anything. We haven't really talked a lot about it, but we will here in the near future. But it's going to be a work of art that is on the either the walls or out in front, or we don't know exactly what it is. The committee has not chosen the work of art, but it's going to be announced in a gala at the veterans, the Veterans Hall Gala, later on in a couple months. I don't have all the dates right now, but essentially that's what it is. When people ask about it, it's to select a work of art. It's going to be, it's from artists throughout the country, the state, and that will make a statement, and it will be on our Shasta County Veterans Service office right down here. And again, no funds of taxpayers will be used at all. It'll be all money that's raised. Let's go into California since we've just got a few minutes left. Our guest, Gary Katz, and we're going to be talking about city council. We're going to be talking about union negotiations. And then at 8 o'clock, we've got Sheriff Tom Basenko. It looks like that the West Hollywood, two West Hollywood medical marijuana dispensaries were raided by federal agents. Say it ain't so. Now, if you remember, we talked about yesterday in Montana having pot places, medicinal pot places, raided by federal agents. And people are all excited. Wait a minute, this is what Holder said. Well, they got raided. And now two West Hollywood medical marijuana dispensaries. Federal drug enforcement agencies hit, raided two West Hollywood medical marijuana stores. In the first such action in the city since the Obama administration decided 2 years ago to take a hands-off approach to dispensaries that abide by state laws. And this is the Alternative Herbal Health Service and Zen Healing are among four that the city has authorized to operate. They were conducted by the Los Angeles Police Department, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, and DEA spokeswoman said. She declined to say what led to the raids. Okay, here's the thing, Bad Bob. Two raids, 2 days, and here's the statement made by Desi Coutte, who runs the Patient Advocacy Network. This is incredibly unsettling that the DEA would strike permitted collectives in a sanctuary city. Okay. get me rolling on this one. A sanctuary city? Is this a sanctuary city? You mean a sanctuary city for illegals? Or is it a sanctuary city for marijuana dispensaries? Or is it just a sanctuary city because it sounds good and she thought that would be really good for a soundbite?
Or to quote Quasimodo, sanctuary.
Okay, don't quit making fun.
I'm
Quasimodo.
Sorry.
Okay, so a sanctuary city. I didn't know West Hollywood was a sanctuary city for drugs or for the medical marijuana. That's interesting because if they have four collectives, okay, they've got four collectives or cooperatives, whatever you call them, in West Hollywood, just imagine what we must be up here in Redding with our 20-plus cooperatives up here. What would we be? If they're a sanctuary city, we must be what? A gateway city to the, well, we are a gateway city to the Trinity County Growth Center of the United States. This is interesting. I just wonder what's going on here. I wonder if they're going after them for other reasons. Is it perhaps there's people working there that are here illegally? That could be it. I don't know. I don't know if it's because they said they seized lots of money. Could that be it? I don't know. That's something to be, we will just continue to follow this. Okay, and our last thought here, when we've got like about...
We're inside 45 seconds.
Okay, Jerry Brown has voter support for extending taxes. They're saying that the majority of people said, yeah, we'd like to have that on the ballot, but then again, they say the same thing. They want a special election, but that doesn't mean that they're going to vote for it. They'd like to have the choice. So, hey, this is Carl Lindabaugh. Linda's on assignment. Our guest, Gary Cadd's here in the studios, and he'll be ready to come on as soon as we get back from our news break. This is Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Join us after the news. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. And Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It's 7:35 in the morning on March the 16th. It's raining, Bob.
Indeed it is, Carl. Look for that to continue throughout the day and then tapering off somewhat tonight. Low will be around 41 degrees. Then rain likely again for your Thursday. Currently 49 outside. We should see a high of about 57. Weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
One of our favorite places to go to this weekend. They've got a great lineup. Got to give them a call out there and set up your reservation because they're always filled up out there on the weekends and during the week at lunch, but always on the weekends when there's music. Okay, this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. That's right, Lumberjacks at 501 East Cypress. Breakfast specials, and this is a great day to have a breakfast special. They have great food down there at what prices? Ham and eggs, and I'm talking about a full plate of food here, served by people that are so friendly. And it's $3.99. I mean, how can you beat that? $3.99 or $4.99 for chicken fried steak and eggs. And if you like New York steak and eggs, $5.99. That's at Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress, locally owned, a local business. And our guest, sitting there, looking ready.
Good morning.
Gary Cadd comes in. Gary's our representative to the city council. Sometimes it's contentious issues. Other times it's just just kind of a report. This is what happened. So if you don't make it to the city council and you don't feel like watching the video on What channel is that on? Is that channel 11 there?
Community Access.
Community Access. And that's one of the things they do. Then we have Gary here to give you his spin.
The spin
on it. And then we. Sometimes some of the things that are said there are done at the city council. You don't get those in the video. You know, you need to have somebody there. Okay, Gary, what happened last night?
Well, first of all, last night there were just a couple contentious issue, if you will. But I'll get first of all to the redevelopment agency meeting they had last night. The redevelopment agency convened and they have moved $1 million from the Canby Hilltop Cypress redevelopment zone into the Market Street zone for the express purpose of putting that $1 million into an escrow account to cover the two pieces of property that may go through eminent domain for the new courthouse. One of these properties is not been taken care of yet because of an audit that had to be renumbered, redone. The figures on it weren't quite correct. And that may come through by this week, so it may not go into the escrow. And then the second one is a friendly condemnation. So the money will go into escrow, and then probably by July the escrow is supposed to be closed, and then the court system will pay the $1 million back, and it'll go back into Canby Hilltop. So this basically is a loan to move forward to build a new courthouse.
Okay.
So that went forward. That was a 5-0.
You know, the thing about this new courthouse is that Anderson really made a run at this.
Yeah.
And I mean, they made a big run. The property they were giving them was riverfront. They opening up all types of gates there, Mayor Norm Comnick and the gang down there. So they tried.
Well, they did, you know,
and they should try.
Well, yeah. certainly, yeah. And it was a really good option. The biggest point there was though the transportation of folks from the jail clear down to Anderson.
Right. They could just walk them So that was going to be a lot of money because you have to put so many people on them.
Right.
Even if, you know, as we've proven when we put our prison guards on people that are in their last stages of life and they can't walk, move, or talk and just barely breathe, and we have three guards on them in the hospitals. But that's for another day.
Another day, yes. All right, and then the real issue in last night's debate was the Churn Creek Road North Extension. And we had somewhat of a full house last night. Quite a few people had no road stickers on. Of the people that spoke, there were 10 people that spoke in favor, and there were 13 that spoke against the.
I'm not sure they really mean it unless they've got a tattoo. I mean, road sticker shirts and signs. I mean, that's one thing. But if you have a tattoo, that means that you are in it.
Well, you're committed.
You're committed then.
Yeah.
Right.
The thing to remember here, the Churn Creek Road North Extension, Holly Road, was in the city's general plan from roughly back in the late 60s up until 2006. Then in 2006, there was some folks came forward and they took it out of the general plan. Well, the city now is moving to put it back into the general plan. Doesn't mean the project's going to move forward tomorrow. Tomorrow, next year, or probably for several years down the road, if and when it's ever actually built.
Okay, we have to take a break here, but here's one of the things, and what you said is important, is that the plans for this have been in there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody buying their homes out there or building out there, they should have been notified that, hey, there's a right-of-way here that they can extend this road all the way through here and make it into four lanes or whatever they're going to do, too. But I also believe you're right. It's where we're going to get the funds for this, where it might make sense to do this. Where does that fall in our priorities of for the city of what to do? Is that more important than putting two more police back on the street? Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Our guest, Gary Caber, talking about city council and proposals. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 7:44 in the morning on March the 16th in Indy. This is for you. I know when she's on assignment. No, it's not. She gets up in the morning and puts on a leather outfit, takes the Beretta, sticks it into a holster, and heads out the door. I know when she's on assignment because she says, I'm on assignment. The rest of the stuff, I just, I don't question it anymore. Hey, our guest is Gary Catt. Indy starts the mornings off always on our chat room, something like this, which kind of gets everybody rolling. Our guest, Gary Catt, is here to talk about the city council. And this portion of the show, before we get started, is brought to you by BNT Satellite, 244-1988. Doug Tooley is the owner and the chief guy out there. Don't call the 800 number. Call BNT Satellite for your dish satellite. Does great work. Doug Tooley is a veteran. He's a local. It's a local business. 244-1988. Sorry, Gary, I had to get that one.
No, it's fine. You got to pay the bills.
They pay the bills. Okay. All right. So we're talking about the road heading out.
Right. Well, the thing with it is that the city has a, I believe it's a 60-foot right-of-way out there now. The a three-lane road is what they're looking at. Be one lane each direction with a turning lane. It's not going to be the five-lane addition that they were going to have been talking about in the past, but it will be on that, as some of the folks call the choke point, or the area where you're going to have to condemn some property. And I don't know what I know there was talking about 30, 40 homes out there. I seriously doubt that there's going to be one or two homes that might be impacted, if they're that. But the one thing that you keep in mind also is some of the folks were saying last night that this will take away from police and fire. It will take away from no funds from the general fund. The money will come for this, for the North Reading. Let's see, it's the North Reading Traffic Benefit District, and for the citywide.
Where do those funds come from?
Those funds come from building fees in the area. And
do you ever get a feeling sometimes it's a shell game, Gary?
Well,
we're taking city taxes. You can call it what you want, but they go in there and they go, okay, this is for this, this is for this, this is for this. It's still taxpayer money.
Well, it's still taxpayer money, but it's put it in different pots. That money cannot be used to pay for wages and benefits. It's put into a separate transportation fund, just like our traffic impact fees are set aside for traffic impact.
Okay.
So those fees cannot be mixed and put over in the general fund.
All right. Hey, let's go to the phones. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
It's been a while, John. 2-3 days. Hey, have you been ill?
Morning, John.
No. I've been really busy. But I was at city council last night, along with Gary. And there's a couple things I want to comment on, but one of which is one of the things you just said, that it's still taxpayers' money. And yes, it is. But when certain funds are allocated for certain things, there isn't a crossover possibility, and it was something that was brought out by the mayor last night, and she was exactly on target. There's an awful lot of people who confuse the issues of financing. When you get a grant for certain things that can be used only within those parameters, you can't just switch it over and hire more police or firemen as much as you'd like to.
That's right.
Those funds aren't transferable. If you don't use them for the thing that it was issued for, it goes back to the issuing agency. So it's hard to perceive this when we all say the same thing. It's coming out of the same pocket, ours. But the assignment is an allocation that's specific to that particular thing. And I have to go along with them. They've got a tough job when they have to try to explain that and also try to work with it.
Well, it's true, John. And I realize it's like, if you have any type of your budget, you have X amount of dollars for this, X amount of dollars for that. And if you take it out of one, the other one, you get hammered.
But we get to transfer it, Carl.
Yeah, we do personally. But again, it's the kind of thing is that I've got this much money to pay my mortgage. If I take it out of there to pay this, then I don't pay that. And I understand. I understand it's in certain pots, and it needs to stay there. And
the administrators of our funds in this particular instance catch a lot of grief over that, and there's only so much they can do.
Yeah.
But my point today is,
yes,
and this is just a compliment to our mayor. I talked to her last night for a minute, and I mentioned it to Gary too. I don't always agree with Missy MacArthur. I mean, she and I have conflicted on various issues, and we're in agreement on a lot of issues. But I was really impressed last night watching her, that she has the courage of her conviction. She doesn't just take the popular route. And she takes a lot of slings and arrows from the community for the decisions she makes, either direction, whatever way she goes on an issue. But she stands in there, and she really votes her conscience. She, you can't predict what way she's going to vote like you can some of the other council people. She's not on a fixed agenda. It seems like she truly votes her conscience. And I just wanted to get that said because I don't think these things are said enough.
Well, you know, here's, you know, when you look at our city council, you can pretty much tell how four of them are going to vote.
Exactly.
And Missy has been from the beginning, and I don't mean this in a bad, I don't mean this at all in a bad sense.
Not at all.
She has been the wild card.
She's in the swing best, vote.
She is the swing vote, and you can't, I mean, she will vote what she believes in.
Absolutely.
And I mean, this is what I picked
like
up, and I know
or
Missy.
Not.
I know Missy, too. Did you say, okay, this is something Missy's going to roll in with Dick Dickerson and Francie Sullivan with?
Right.
No. And then there's another, you think it's a slam dunk with Jones and Bassetti, and it's like, no.
No.
And then so it's kind of like, okay, so Missy dances to her own drum, and maybe that's what we need.
Well, I kind of appreciated it last night. I just liked the way she handled herself, and she's getting very, very comfortable with being the mayor.
Right. Okay, hey, we got to take a break here.
That's it.
All right, thanks, John.
Have a great day.
All right. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, our guest, Gary Cadd. We're going to finish up this segment on the city council, and then, of course, we have Sheriff Tom Basenko here. Join us after these messages. In our 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. It's 7:52 in the morning on March the 16th. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're romping on KCNR1460.com as we're streaming, and the chat room is in there, and I'm not even sure what they're talking about at this point, but it's always fun. Guest is Gary Cadd. Gary, you wanted to talk about unions. Union negotiations.
Under closed session last night, they had another closed session for union contracts, and they're working with the IBEW and with the Reading Police Officers Association. And one thing the reason I bring this up, folks, is the situation that when they're negotiating in closed session, they're negotiating the contract. The only time that we're going to be able to see what's happening is after the contract has been negotiated. It's a done deal. So the reason I go forward to city council meetings and make comments on the possible negotiations, because we don't know what they do in closed session. I have no idea what they're doing back there. The only thing I can draw a conclusion from is the previous negotiations that they've achieved since January of this year. And those negotiations have been granted taking the employee starting to pay their employee share of the purse payment, but they're also giving salary increases. We have at the moment, we're according to talking with Chief Hansen, we're down 21 sworn police officers. That's 21 individuals carrying a gun protecting us in Reading. We're down 19 community service positions. Those are the people that come around and take a report on a crime, a theft, or whatever's happened. They come around and take the report. And to be truthful with you, I'm going to have to get a hold of the fire chief and talk to him and see just how many firemen we're down. But I know we're down a significant number, and we have a fire station closed. We're going to have to start saving money. And with the large component that public safety is in our general fund, where do we save money? Where are these things going to be taken care of? So it's my contention that we, the individuals of the city, need to step forward on closed session items and let our voices be heard to the council about the cuts that we want done, about having the fire station number 2 reopened. And the only way we're going to make a voice, otherwise we can just sit back like we have in the past, say nothing, and then one day it's going to show up as an item on the open agenda. And by that time, folks, it's a done deal. So that's the reason why I'm hitting this, and I think that they shouldn't be giving contracts for... I think it should be a one-year contract, but no longer than two-year contracts, because we don't know how long this downturn that we're in is going to...
Well, here's the thing is that Peter Hansen was on the show last Thursday. And what the chief is saying is exactly what you said. We're down this many people. We're back down at that level. And he believes that violence and the violent crimes are going up.
They are.
He believes violent crimes in America are going up, and he's talking about the number of police officers been involved in shootings and in this. You know, I look at, and not just police officers, but law enforcement. And he likens this, and I'm not sure that he's wrong about this, that America is angry. It's angry, and for so many reasons. It's angry at the economy. It's, you know, we've got people that are tired of a serial war that we have going that a president said that he's going to end, and instead he keeps putting more troops into. You know, we're tired about, you know, the oil crisis. We're tired over so many things. And the last time the country was this upset probably was during the Vietnam War, when all the when the people lost faith in their government.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's happening. I think people are starting to lose faith in the fact that you know, the government's there to actually watch out for us. When you see some of the moves it's made, and maybe, you know, maybe it's just a philosophical, you know, comment, but if it's true, if the country is getting fed up and now it's starting to act out in different ways, and having a police department that at least is keeping the strength it has and not losing it is probably a good idea.
Well, and then
the question is then where do you make your cuts? Because we're not making any more money. I mean, let's face it, the North State here in Shasta County, we're in the doldrums.
Well, stop and think of something, too. The city manager, not last night but the previous meeting, made the statement that our CalPERS payment, if everything stays the same, if every employee stays working just exactly as it is, our CalPERS payment is going to go up $1 million. So there's $1 million we're going to have to scrape up. Our health care is going to go up 10%, which works out to $900,000. So that's that $1,900,000, call it $2 million. Now, that's not even including looking at the sales tax receipts for the fourth quarter of last year, which we haven't gotten yet. We don't know what those numbers are.
I know that at various times in this history of this country in the last 30 or 40 years is that, you know, the military who was engaged in combat was not given their cost of living, you know, just a regular, you know, cost of living increase, and you're losing money. And maybe it's a time when everybody has to take that step back, you know, that are, you know, in the public, you know, working for the government. I just saw something in the paper where somebody's given a seminar on how to get a government job. There's 200,000 jobs in the state of California. 200,000 jobs, government jobs in the state of California. You know, this is just at the state level.
No wonder we have a budget problem.
And it says, and this is, and a lot of them, they need people, so they're going to give a lecture on it. Does anybody else see anything wrong right now with this 200,000 jobs? How many of these? And you know what? 200,000 jobs may not actually be the truth. I can't help but think that there's more.
Mm-hmm.
If you add everything up, that maybe, you know, how many of these jobs could be done by the private side?
Well, the one you're right. But the one thing that I'd like to say before
yeah,
we leave,
yeah, we're
here,
down to like a minute.
Is the one thing I'd like to say is, folks, your voice needs to be heard. If there's something that you want, you need to take the time to let your voice be heard. It's good to go to city council and listen to what's going on there, but make your voice heard. We're in budget problems.
It's not just, and by the way, just real quickly, it's not just at the city council. Letters, phone calls, emails. Those kind of things get their attention also, and they're looking for this. They're looking for somebody to help them make some of these decisions, I believe. I don't, you know, there could be some ideas that are set there, but I think that the more we weigh in, the better chance we have of answering this. Okay, Gary Catt, as usual, thank you very much for always coming in after city council and giving us your viewpoint on it, opening up the discussion days. Sheriff Tom Besinkel is here. He's out there in our green room waiting to come on. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. We're going to have the news here, and then when we come back, we've got the sheriff. We're going to be talking county issues, city, and state.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. And Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:05 on March the 16th, the day before St. Paddy's Day. And I'm sure when we start into our next guest, we'll be addressing that one issue. Linda's not here today. She's on assignment and is getting things done all around town. And we'll be back soon. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. And you can join our chat room, as many, many have. I'm just looking down here. I see Jimmy and Val and Indie Guy and Angel and John. And they just keep going on and on. Anyway, Bad Bob.
Well, interestingly enough, we've lost 2 degrees since we started out this morning. It is now 48 degrees downtown. Look for showers throughout the day. Thunderstorms possible after 11 a.m. High should be at 57 degrees. That'll taper off tonight. Low around 41. Rain likely tomorrow with a high of 53. As I said, currently downtown 48. The weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
That's right. Anselmo's has got big music going this weekend, but you're gonna need reservations. And her phone number there is 474-5546. Great food. The ambiance is just outstanding. And the wait staff treats you like you are family. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Tobacco and Brew, Joe and Shelley. They do so much for our town, so much for our veterans, so much for our community, but they also have the finest coffee place in town, and with Espresso Joe's, and then, of course, that walk-in humidor where you can get your cigar of choice, your tobacco products, and also a room there that you can just sit down after getting your coffee that's made specially for you by the girls there who know how to make a great cup of coffee. You can sit down at the Wi-Fi and have a free Wi-Fi. Look at your computer. You can listen to the show there. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Our guest in our regular installment of keeping up with what's going on in the Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Tom Basinko.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you there, Sheriff?
Great. Glad to be here.
Well, you know, I saw you at another public event.
I always try and make many, yes.
Yeah, the Festa Italiana.
A great event put on by the Sons of Italy, and then this year they recognized Pat Karch.
That's right.
As the Italian of the Year. And I was amazed at how many different community service things he is involved in. It was amazing.
Well, one of the things we were talking about today is that art project at the Shasta County Veterans Service Office. Pat's a main driver in that. And, I mean, he's one that's he's pulled in a lot of people, including Linda and I, into this to get this done. And it's, I mean, he is, he does so many things, and he is really not well known.
No,
I mean,
he's kind of just maybe off on the side, but you're right. A lot of people are unaware of it. I was unaware of it, and he works for the county. But I don't know when the guy sleeps with as many things as he's involved in.
Well, he does. And then besides that, working at the county and doing all this great work he does, he plays all over the county because he's a great piano
and
player.
A and
he's
a musician.
Yeah, he's one of Linda's go-to guys when it comes to when she's putting together her music groups.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to Pat Karch. And of course, the Festa Italiana with Lou and Kathleen White are the ones where they drove, you know, that drive that for the last
four or five
years.
That is a great event every year. Well attended.
It is. And, you know, it's a lot of fun.
You know, you were talking about the veterans groups and their activities. In fact, I think there's something coming up on Saturday.
The Podaico. Yeah.
Yeah, at the Veterans Cemetery.
Yeah, we had Senator Johannesson on yesterday, and we talked about that. It's going to be at 11 o'clock. We're starting with the... it's going to be the commemoration of the chapel,
right?
Of the Warriors Chapel out there. Starts at 11 o'clock. After that, there's refreshments. But then at 12:30, then the Missing in America Project and Fred Salante, who has been nominated for the highest civilian award, you know, you can get in this country by the Medal of Honor Society, the Congressional Medal of Honor Society. It's not for combat, but it's for selfless work for the people of this country.
And there's another very devoted individual traveling all over to find veterans that have been missing or put on a shelf, their remains put on a shelf, and then he finds them and then gives them a proper and dignified burial.
That's right. And they have 25 cremains that they're going to inter. Not all at one time. I mean, don't think you're going to be out there for 3 hours while that's happening, but you're not, because after the memorial or the chapel being commemorated at 11 o'clock, be a break, some, like I said, refreshments, and then they're going to do the ceremony with the Missing in America Project. You know, and we're going to take a break here when we come back, but, you know, it's not surprising to me, but I find it refreshing that our city of Redding has two of those Medal of Honor nominees right here in our town and here in River City with Fred Salante and Debbie Allen.
We have just a great, very giving community and people there that do so much and touch so many.
And you think about something like the size of New York City, L.A., Oakland, San Diego, San Francisco, all these other places, zero.
Right.
And then you've got Reading with two people. I mean, what a, you know, and they will tell you that they can't do this by themselves, and the citizens and the people here have helped them so much. And so, anyway, I'm very proud of what's going to happen this Saturday. There's so many things going on. Sundial Film Festival, Game Feed.
Yeah, Anderson Rotary Game Feed this Saturday down in Anderson at the fairgrounds, right?
Yeah, so many things going on. You know, it's, you know, if you have to start early in the morning to try and keep up with all this.
You know, last week I was honored and attended the Military Order of the Purple Heart. And they are all Purple Heart awardees. Very touching. And it was another ceremony to recognize Mothers of the Gold Star. And those are mothers and wives that have lost their loved one that were killed in action. A very touching, all from all over the North State.
Right. And, Bill Phelan came in here, Gunny Phelan. Anyway, we have to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Sheriff Thomas. When we come back, we're going to be talking business. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. It is 8:15 in the morning, March 16th. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming and chatting at KCNR 1460. Hey, Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. You know, if you, you know, one of the good things about becoming a senior, which is age 55, you get to go down to Lumberjacks and you get great meals. You get two for $12, and you get the choice of chicken fried steak, shrimp, roasted turkey, honey cured ham, you name it. Practically, it's on this. You've got to be 55 or older, and two meals for two for $12. And that includes potatoes and two sides, vegetables, bread, all of this. This is at 501 East Cypress, Lumberjack, and it's a local business owned by people in our town, and they give great food, great selections for great prices. We heartily recommend them. Okay, our guest, Sheriff Tom Basenko, and there's been questions of come flowing through the chat room. And, there's a billboard that somebody remarked on. There was a billboard put up a couple of years ago about Shasta County, home of sex offenders or the most sex offenders. And you said, you know, you knew about this. I don't remember seeing it, but.
Yeah, I think it was off of either Railroad Avenue or down by Knighton Road. But basically, it was up, and it's had that on there, and I think that was up by one of the local law enforcement associations, had that up as information. And I think also at the time of
the elections going on?
I think so, and then budget, and I think there was going to be reductions in law enforcement, cops on the street.
Okay. So it was...
It was to bring attention, community awareness and community information. And we do have about 700 registered sex offenders here in Shasta County.
Now, these are from Shasta County. We're not importing them, are we?
No. That did happen quite some time ago. We're talking, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so ago, where CDCR prisons used to parole them here. But after they're off of parole and probation, a sex offender can move anywhere in the state. They're just required to register with the chief of police or the sheriff within a certain amount of time.
Was it ever the practice for folks to be put on the bus when they would let them out of Susanville, and this was their stop?
Yes, it was. Yeah. They would take the they would give them a bus ticket basically to connect wherever they're supposed to be going, or drive them down here from High Desert, drop them off at the bus station, and say, "Hey, make sure you get to Sacramento or Los Angeles." And yeah, right. They'd usually score some dope or some booze, and then get into trouble, and then they'd already be violated and back into the criminal justice system.
Let's go to the phones. John, good morning.
Good morning again, Carl. How are you doing this morning?
Well, different subjects.
Different subjects. The sun's coming out. It's a beautiful day. But I have a serious question for Tom. I'm sorry, Sheriff Basenko.
Good morning, John.
Good morning,
how are
Tom.
You? How are you?
Two questions, really, but the first one is very general. It seems like there's been a noticeable uptick in violent and serious crime since the disaster in Japan. Are there any statistics to support this observation that in cases of world or national disasters, crime increases?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm sure there's something out there on the internet. But actually, this uptick looks like it's been going on for a while. If you go back and pull out of our local headlines, whether it be the gang activity, stabbings, shootings, pursuits, that's been going on probably with a little bit more of a increase, or at least in the news, over the last year.
Tom, one other last question, if you don't mind. I can barely hear you, but I'm going to ask this, and then I'm going to take the answer off the air. We all are aware of the cutbacks in law enforcement and the governor's decision to reduce the involvement of parole officers with parolees and kind of pass that on to local law enforcement. We have an enormous population of sexual offenders who are paroled here, and particularly child molesters. Are you guys going to be able to keep up with this thing? And I will take the answer off air. Thanks.
Thanks, John.
Great. Thank you, John. You know, that is a big concern, and that's one of the things that Carl and I are going to be talking about today. And in the trade and amongst sheriffs and the chiefs, we're calling it the prison dump. And tens of thousands of inmates, due to court decisions, the budget, are scheduled to be released over a period of years. And some of those people will be coming back to Shasta County. Those are people that we've sent there. And that is a big concern for law enforcement, public safety, our DA's office, the public defender's office, and the court system, because it can easily be overloaded, as it actually is overloaded right now.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to address that, John, and for all of our listeners. We're going to address those kind of things, the dump. Samantha Nielsen has weighed in on this. We have the phone lines, people on the phone line, so give us a couple minutes for this break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment, 8:25 in the morning on March 16th. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. That's right. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. His phone number is 244-1988. He's got a new location, 1345 Liberty Street. He guarantees his work. He's a local guy. He's a veteran. We used him at the house, and we're very, very happy with his service. That's Doug Tooley and B&T Satellite, 244-1988. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basinko, and we're talking about a couple of things. But let's go to the phones. Jimmy, you're on.
Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
I have two quick questions, and then I'll get off the air. The first one is about the proposed low budget or low housing income project they're doing. I think it's in Bernie. Tom, how do you feel about the possibility of the crime rate rising up there with such a limited amount of resources that the sheriff have up there? And the next question is, what can your average citizen do about if they see anything suspicious out in the forest with some of these pot-growing cartels that are up here now? And what do you think about that? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks a lot, Jimmy.
Great, okay. Jimmy. Hey, good questions, too. All the time, law enforcement, we rely on citizens to be good witnesses, be our eyes and our ears. And so if you see suspicious activity, see a crime occurring, call your local law enforcement. Here in Redding, that's our Shascom Dispatch Center for the Sheriff and Redding Police Department. That's at 245-6540. And, of course, if it's an emergency, 911. And that deal in Bernie and the Intermountain area, I know a little bit about it, but basically it's allowed to, you have to at least have those plans on the books, because it is a kind of a state requirement to have those plans within your general plan. And then it allows for a lot of funding to come to the county, and they have been utilized for a number of special projects throughout the county, which have included veterans projects and others. And I don't think there's going to be any development anytime soon in the near future, being defined as anywhere from up to 5 years or even into the 10-year period, because a lot of times those individuals, the lower income individuals, also need services that are usually here in Reading, whether it be the stores or other services. So I don't think it will be a major impact, but I certainly understand the concerns of the citizens in the Intermountain area.
Oh, yeah. You know, you start seeing things like that, and what they're doing is increasing their population by 20% with low-income housing, which, you know, that doesn't, just because you live in low-income housing doesn't make you a criminal,
yeah,
first of all. But on the other hand, it does can change the slight ambiance that you might have out there.
But it is a requirement that the county has to have some of those designated areas.
Okay, there's another question that came in, Sheriff. And do you know anything about prisoners being sent to Arizona?
I believe under Governor Schwarzenegger, he was looking at trying to house state inmates out of state in a cost-saving measure because it costs so much to house a prisoner in California and other states could do it less. And I don't know if he was successful in having them housed because they were talking about Nevada, Minnesota, I believe, and I don't know if Arizona was included in that or not.
Okay, I'm going to ask it because it gets asked every time. How come we don't put them out in tents in the desert with guards around them and give them the same kind of quality living that Marines and soldiers have in the field?
I always wish I had about $10 every time I heard that because I think
well,
I solved the budget
every
problem.
Time, so we just,
absolutely.
You know, we got 30 seconds left, so we can answer.
We have legal requirements through Title 15 and Title 24 for jails and prisons. And basically, it can't be done here in California unless the law was changed.
There you go. And it always gets asked.
Oh, absolutely.
And so we have to do that. Okay. Oh, Jim, I'm sorry, you're on line one.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Sheriff Tom.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Very good.
Got
hey,
about 20 seconds.
I just wanted to have people take note there that in Japan, there's no looting going on. In New Orleans and all other places around, there's always looting going on. But over there, there's no looting.
You know what? That is a good observation. Of all the news coverage there, you're absolutely right. At least if there is, it hasn't been covered. And the Japanese people are some of the best prepared for an earthquake. That's been on the news several times. And even when the earthquake was occurring, they were very orderly. There wasn't mass chaos for people running around during this very tragic event that occurred there. And they're still dealing with it in, it appears, a very organized fashion.
Jimmy?
Still there?
Yeah. I can already hear Tom what he says.
Oh, okay.
Is he in the studio?
I'm here.
Yeah, he's here.
Yeah. Mason's not coming over the phone at all.
Oh, well, okay. Wait a minute. Just, hey, Bob, turn that down because I'm blowing myself out of here now. Hey, Jim, what he said was, yes, but that's, and it's not being covered, but it was a great observation on your part. Did you hear that okay?
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you very much.
You've got to take a break here. You know, having lived in Japan for a couple of years, that doesn't surprise me. It doesn't mean there's not crime there, because there
right.
is. But for that society, for have to have something like, you know, looting and this, that would have been a huge surprise to me to see a breakdown in their society, because it's in their society. That's what we're looking
part
at.
Part of their culture. Exactly.
That's right.
Right.
Hey, Jimmy, I know. Jimmy, who called about the low-income housing, I know. I hope I didn't give that opinion. Or to give you that impression that Jimmy thought that low-income housing meant crime. It doesn't. He did not say that. But there's,
I understand.
Of course there's that possibility.
Right.
So that was what I did. Okay. Call on the bot, Free Fire Radio. Our guest, Sheriff Tom Basinko. We've got to take a quick break here. Join us after these messages. Carl and the Bot, welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It is 8:35 in the morning on March the 16th. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right. Right off Athens Avenue, DC and Tim and the man in black. Give haircuts, not hairstyling. There's no gel going on there. There's no hair dryers. They're just good, solid haircuts at great prices, and they give discounts to veterans. That Cypress Square Barbershop, and let me tell you, it's man's last stronghold. Yes, man's last stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Our guest, Sheriff Tom Basinko. We're here. Let's talk about, we want to talk about something that's been rolling through the press. And here's the headline here. Assemblyman Nielsen announced today that he strongly opposes Governor Brown's public safety realignment proposal. The proposal, which would be part of an upcoming budget, would shift about 38,000 offenders in the first year $16,000 from prison and $22,000 from parole onto local public safety officials. The figure would grow to about $68,000 by the year 2014. Hielson thinks that this proposal can be very troubling by shifting the burden of housing over to us. Comments?
Sure. Jim is right on the spot there. He's a great, great friend and supporter of the North State and for law enforcement. Anyway, that's called what we're calling the prison dump, and that does not even take into account a big lawsuit that was going on over the last few years due to prison overcrowding. And that is a problem here. We see it as problematic because that shift of those are inmates statewide that would be coming back to the counties of who sent them there. And so we'd get a percentage of those because we do send a high percentage of people to prison. And then with less law enforcement officers on the street, an overloaded court system, the state is trying to push paroles back to the county for probation. They're trying to push parole hearings back to the county, making it a responsibility of the county for DA, public defender, and in the courts. And we all know the courts are overloaded here locally and statewide as well.
Right.
So it is very problematic for public safety.
Okay, they also would, the proposed bill would also change the terms of sentences for many felons and would leave many more parolees unsupervised in our communities. That would extend 50% early release good time credits to misdemeanor offenders and other jail inmates not sentenced to state prison.
That's correct.
You know what we're going? It sounds like we're turning loose a veritable tidal wave of criminals.
Yes, and there part of that proposal is to change actually sentencing for inmates that would end up doing less than 3 years in state prison to push them back to the counties and then make them do county time. And here's the big question: where are we going to put them?
Because yeah, we've already closed down.
We've closed the floor of the jail. Many sheriffs throughout the state have closed jails due to lack of budget. And then about 40 of the jails throughout California, 40 sheriffs have court orders that or self-imposed capacities due to crowding. And so the room is just not there. And you can't wave a magic wand and build a jail. And even if you could, where's the money going to come from to operate it? Because that's very expensive as well.
Now, is any money coming back with this proposal from Brown? I mean, supposedly money coming
to us? Supposedly, but then the money that would cost to incarcerate those individuals still doesn't cover our local county costs. The cost for these parole hearings isn't covered. There's a because they're trying to save money and close this $26+ billion deficit. They're trying to get it on the ballot for a vote. That was in the Sacramento Bee this morning. Of course, it's been on the news. But they're saying that the polls support extending the increases in taxes that are already there, but do not support any increases, new increases in taxes. So they're trying to get this pushed through for a ballot issue. And right here in Shasta County, the vehicle license fee that's there now, that's all set to dry up June 30th. And if it isn't either extended or there's some money that's dedicated for it, it's about $506 million statewide. Right here in Shasta County, that's about $1.5 million for the sheriff's office and another $1.5 million for the DA and probation combined. So that's a $3 million hit right here in Shasta County.
Is there any type of alternative to this, Sheriff? I mean, are they offering up an alternative that says, okay, we're going to replace this money in a different way that you know of?
There are three pieces of legislation. One of them is sponsored by Senator Nielsen to try and make some allocations for that $506 million for public safety. There's another one by Chesbro, which is over in Eureka, West Chesbro. Another one by Logue out of the Yuba County area. All of those are still making its way through the legislature, but it's going to be very difficult because of the partisanship politics.
Yeah, partisanship. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to finish talking about this, but what I'm seeing from what, you know, Nielsen's fighting it, obviously the law enforcement, every aspect of law enforcement in Shasta County is fighting this, and probably in the North State, is releasing these prisoners back to us. Not enough money to house them. Parolees not going on probation or letting them off that, and bringing them straight back to River City. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Back up. Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott here at KCNR 1460. It's 8:43 in the morning on March the 16th, and it's raining. It's supposed to be raining later today. It's supposed to be thunderstorms later. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo's. They're having a great music weekend out there. You can give them a call for reservations. They're always filled up. Great chow. The ambiance, of course, is just wonderful out there, and they make you feel welcome. You know, the serving staff out there and everybody makes you feel welcome. It's a great place. It's in Anselmo's Vineyards out there, just a little bit north of Palo Cedro. That's a quick drive up there. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko. You all are heading up the investigation on the officer-involved shooting, I guess it was a week ago Monday.
Correct. We're the lead agency, and we're being assisted by other law enforcement agencies here in Shasta County, which includes, of course, the Redding Police Department, Anderson Police Department, California Highway Patrol, and the District Attorney's Office. And we have what we in place here in Shasta County, we have a multi-jurisdictional critical incident protocol. When we had the bank robberies here locally last December, we assisted and were the lead agency for the Plumas Bank robbery when RPD had a shooting there. And then when ours was just before Christmas up in Burney, RPD was the lead agency. And we do that to have an objective, all involved, multiple agencies, so that it is basically an agency isn't investigating themselves.
Well, that's the way it should be.
And then eventually that case is submitted to the district attorney. The district attorney reviews it and will come out with a decision.
Yeah, but you, it appears just from everything we've heard is that it was just a fierce fight, and that there was a that both these officers' lives were in danger. So I'm just you know, we're all very thankful that they're still alive and that they, you know, and that the officer, I think it's Becky Zufall, has that stepped in there and had to do what, you know, and had to answer what was going on with the perpetrator there. With
very
the
thankful that
the training paid off.
Yeah.
And it goes to show, as Bob said, the training did pay off. We do a lot of training, but it also goes to show that these incidents can happen in a split second at any time, whether it be day or night, and you go from a traffic stop into a fight for your life almost instantly.
Yeah, and so it's again, we're very thankful that both the officers got out
very much so
with just minor, you know, not minor injuries compared to what it could have been.
Absolutely.
You know, I'd like to go back again to this. You know, this is really, I'm disgusted by this whole thing about the about bringing the felons back here to Shasta County and no money to take care of it. I mean, what can we do? I mean, this is just. This is just horrendous what they're proposing. I mean, here we are. We're losing our sheriff's deputies. We're losing our police department because of money. We've shut down a jail, a floor in the jail. Mm-hmm. It's been shut down for over a year now, at least.
One of the biggest concerns, and we're fortunate that we live in a democratic society and a free nation, is you can always let your elected officials know. Local, whether it be your city council or the Board of Supervisors, and statewide, is our representatives. We have Senator Doug LaMalfa, who attends a lot of events up here and has a good listening ear for him. I can always contact him. I have his cell phone. I can call him on any issues. And we're working very closely with him. And our state assemblyman for District 2, Jim Nielsen, he is also, we call each other quite frequently, email each other on these concerns. And as an individual citizen, let your elected officials know and let your voice be heard. You can write letters to the assemblyman or the senator. They have local representatives here, and it is a big concern, and it is on something that can impact us here locally, and it impacts public safety statewide as well.
I would think that most of the counties here in the state would. This is going to impact on everybody. That most people would have like to kind of weigh in on this one.
Absolutely, our associations, the California State Sheriff's Association, the California Police Chiefs Association, the California Probation Chiefs Association, the California Association of Counties, we're all weighing in on that. We're working very closely with our legislators and the governor's office on trying to lessen these impacts and also trying to solve the problem of this $26 billion deficit. It wasn't created overnight, and I don't think that it's going to be solved overnight.
Well, yeah, but it's... it seems to me that, and I'm just a simple old Marine here, that there's priorities. And giving and supporting people, giving money and supporting people that aren't even here legally, is I don't understand that, why they would take money away from law enforcement, our elderly citizens, our veterans, to do that. I mean, where does it say in our state charter or anybody's, you know, brain that we need to spend all these billions of dollars on these people?
Huge amounts of money going out there.
I don't understand it. And it's not racist. I'm not, you know, I don't think it's because they are, you know, because they're not, of course, if you're here illegally, it doesn't make any difference who you are here illegally, but they're spending so much money and we need it for other places.
You know, I've said it before, you know, before we can be healthy, either physically or mentally, before we can prosper in our businesses, before we can be educated, whether it be from kindergarten all the way through college, we have to be safe. Businesses don't want to relocate to a city or start up or do business in a place they don't feel safe. You don't want to bring your kids to a community and put them in schools where you don't feel they're safe. And so government's first responsibility is the protection and safety of its citizens.
That's it. You know, there's very few things that they are. You know, it's protecting our borders and protecting our citizens. So I've got to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. I want to ask the sheriff about a special legislation for our assembly members.
Oh, yes.
I guess, you know what, I've already talked about it a couple days ago, but I you know what, it just keeps going back into my head here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Join us after these messages.
Back down. No, I won't.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl Linda Bott, Linda's on assignment today. 8:53 in the morning is our last segment. It's March the 16th. This portion of the show brought to you, of course, by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, finest walk-in humidor in the state. They have cigars that they select individually. They put them in a special area, and you can buy them at just great prices. Also, Espresso Joe's, fixed by the ladies that know how to fix a great cup of coffee any way you want it. That's Tobacco and Brew. Joe and Shelley have been in business there for 35 years with a Tobacco and Brew store. And they help our community. They help our veterans. They stand up for us. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Our guest, Sheriff Tom Vasenko. Jaws and Paws t-shirts are, you know, we're getting these questions, are available?
Yes, at the Sheriff's Office on Court Street, and your proceeds help support our canine unit.
Okay, the I've got two questions here. One is just to make me livid, but here's the other one. and I'm not going to ask that one unless we have time. Major disaster, San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
People flood up here. What do you, I mean, is that a worst case scenario if it doesn't hit here?
It would be. They flood up here. Of course, we do have emergency contingency plans, but if you're being overwhelmed with hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, it would be a huge impact on our resources, our services here for public safety, the county as a whole. Of course, there'd be devastation in any of our metropolitan areas. And they'd probably stop off in Sacramento first, but I'm sure we'd end up having to call some type of mutual aid to assist in delivery of services and care and housing of those individuals that have been displaced as a result of a disaster.
Well, posse comitatus.
We've talked about that. That's been on the books before, but law enforcement, especially the smaller rural counties such as our own, can easily become overwhelmed on a major disaster or incident.
That's right. And, you know, are people prepared for this? And this is something else we talk a lot about here, but we're going to get real serious on preparations and talking about preparations here, and maybe and make a number of ways that people can have access on how to get ready. All right, you know, Sheriff, this is okay. I'm going to ask it. The legislature, got 4 minutes left, legislature wants to pass a bill that gives the assemblymen and senators and elected congressmen and senators a special dispensation to carry a concealed weapon. When I read that, I was just a little bit upset. And then I thought about it and said, well, they have that right, don't they, already?
I won't go so far as a right because concealed weapons is more of a privilege than a Second Amendment right. But anyway, the kind of semantics. But they have that available to them right now. An elected official is no different than you or Bob. They're a citizen, number one, and there's a process for the concealed weapons permit, and it shouldn't give an advantage, one person having an advantage over another, merely because they're an elected official. There's a process in the state where they have to do an application, get some education class, apply for it, get vetted, and then be awarded a CCW if everything's copacetic.
Yeah, I mean, and this is what I said. Well, you have that. You have that ability right now there, Congressman. You just have to convince that sheriff of your county.
Or chief of police.
Or chief of police that you're worthy of this.
Yes.
And I just, you know, I just laugh when I hear it that they need, and because somebody was going to spit on me. So I'm thinking, obviously you haven't been through a class, so if you spit on me and I shoot you, that's a good reason to shoot
that,
you.
That
right?
wouldn't be a lethal force option there.
So
in Los Angeles County, probably a couple million people down there,
yeah.
There's only 400 permits issued by the sheriff's office there. Shasta County, we got about 185,000 people here, about 95,000 people that are adults registered to vote, and we have about 2,300 or so permits, CCW permits.
I would think there'd be more than that, frankly.
It is spendy. It costs about $55-$60 to renew every year, and then the initial one, you have to go through a course of education, an eight-hour course, and I think that's about $150-$60. And then your first two-year permit is about $150, so it's over $300 for your first permit.
That's true, but you have the privilege of that here because you have common sense measures on
that. And then it allows the person to carry, in general, statewide within California. And then there are other states that you're allowed, even though you may be a non-resident, you're allowed to get a CCW permit there.
Okay, quick question. Somebody said that they found that they had a wrong serial number on one of their weapons. And that the county said to just write over it with a ink pen?
No.
Doesn't sound right, yeah.
I would question that. And you can come in, you can make that change if there was either a wrong serial number or maybe a number got transposed, still making it wrong, but it has to get amended on there because that could be problematic if you end up in another...
So come back down to the office.
Come on back down.
Okay, that's Sun Gold. That didn't sound right to me either. Okay, Sheriff Tom Basenko. Thank you so much for coming here, our regular update of what's going on.
It's always a pleasure, and great questions from the audience that always calls in.
We have a very, very literate audience. Tomorrow, Sharon Clark, Chamber of Commerce Business of the Year, is going to be here. Plus, she has home helpers, and she's got lots of things that she's going to be able to talk about that. We've got so many other things coming in to talk about what's going on this weekend, and that's tomorrow starting at 7 o'clock. So just remember... This is Carl Linda Bott, KCNR 1460, and just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
KCNR Shasta Redding.